Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Antler Up podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting equipment, and we have a fun show for you all today. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Antler Up podcast. We are on episode 191. We got a really fun show for you all today. Hunting season is happening. I've been on a hunt. Pennsylvania in certain units is opening up. Success stories are piling in. What a great time. It's the best time of the year going on right now. But man, We got a really fun episode for you all today. It's episode 191. Like I said, we are joined by none other than Joe Miles. Joe is the owner of Osseo Gear and resides in South Carolina. And Joe also runs the Mission Whitetail podcast. And I will say this, whenever Joe is a guest on a podcast, I always seem to pick up a few things and just truly enjoy his philosophy on hunting and like everything else that he has going on. So Joe has always been a top guest for me to have on the show and to speak with. I'm really excited he took the time out of his day to have this discussion with me. And man, it did not disappoint. So coming off an early season successful hunt in his home state of South Carolina, Joe talks about how this hunt really worked out for him. And we get into more questions about individual growth, going after mature bucks, hunting stories, and a whole lot more. Really, we dive into a key word, patience, especially during early season as when it comes to hunting mature bucks. We get into what hunters need to do to take care of the little things and his top roles when chasing mature bucks. And towards the tail end of this, Joe goes over some of what Osseo Gear is offering and just here again, hearing his perspective on things. It's just really awesome to hear. And I can't say thank you enough for Joe coming on. If you're like just a straight up killer who gets shit done, you will enjoy this episode. So I want to say thanks again, everybody, for all of your continued support. If you like what you hear, it means a lot and it helps out the podcast a lot. If you go and leave a 5-star review and write something up as well, it really means a lot to me if you do that. And man, thank you so much. Enjoy this episode. Best of luck to you and looking forward to this. Also, really quick, important. We are going to be dropping a bi-weekly episode on Fridays. It's just going to be a 20-minute hit banger real quick talking about maybe some past guests that we've had on, maybe other podcast discussions with the guests that they're listening to, some kind of topics they're taking away from it, and also what's going on in the woods or in their lives when it comes to hunting at that moment. Kind of do the same thing, 15 minutes from them, maybe 5-10 minutes from myself, but it will air bi-weekly as of right now on Fridays, just to kind of as another little piece of antler up going into your speakers. So want to say thank you to for all the support listening and for the guests for coming on and doing that as we go throughout the season. If you're interested in hopping on and doing that, just hit me up, send me a message. If there's someone that you would like to hear, please share those people, even if they don't have never been on a podcast before. Those are people too that I think would be fantastic because, man, there's a millions of straight up killers out there that haven't ever done one. So really appreciate it. Thanks again. Tuning in. See you next week. Antler up. What's up, everybody? Before we get into this week's episode, I do want to give a quick announcement. The Allegheny chapter for Turkeys for Tomorrow will be holding a social event Columbus Day weekend, October 8th from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Angry Goat. It's going to be a really cool, fun day. All are welcome. There's going to be raffles. There's going to be a shotgun raffle, door prizes. The football games will be going on. Cornhole. You can buy your own beer. Food and beverage will be provided with a donation to Turkeys for Tomorrow. So come support this new chapter that's here. It's going to be really a fun day of hunters getting together. And all the proceeds are going to go back into this chapter for our area here in Pennsylvania, which is really, really cool. So come support at the Angry Goat in Dubois, Pennsylvania, October 8th from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. And check out Turkeys for Tomorrow. Tethered is a team of saddle hunting fanatics with a passionate addiction to whitetail hunting. Designing and engineering products to be a more efficient and confident hunter, Tethered produces the most mobile, stealthy, and safest elevated hunting gear on the planet. Built by saddle hunters for the saddle hunter. Head over to tethernation.com to see for yourself what exactly I'm talking about. America's Best Bowstrings has been manufacturing high-quality custom bowstrings in the USA since 2006. America's Best Bowstrings strives on the commitment to never end the search for perfection, and this has been the driving force behind the company. Innovative products for every archer out there. Go create a custom set today at americasbestbowstrings.com. And a special code is made for our listeners of the Antler Up podcast for America's best bowstrings. Use code ANTLERUP and you will save $10 off your order. Spartan Forge stands at the nexus of machine learning and whitetail deer hunting to deliver truly intuitive and science-based products that saves the hunter time spent scouting, planning, and executing their hunts. You have deer prediction, journaling, and the best maps on any hunting app platform there is. Use code ANTLERUP to save 20% off your Spartan Forge membership at spartanforge.ai. Welcome back, everybody, to the show this week. I'm joined by Joe Miles. Joe, welcome to the show.
Man, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Really humbled to be here and excited to talk some deer killing with you.
Me too, man. This is off air. I just said how much I've been always listening to your podcast and how much I really respect what you say and what you do, not only in the whitetail woods, but outside the whitetail woods with running a business. And we'll dive into that stuff, man, because I'll tell you what, Joe, other than talking whitetail, I love talking to very... I don't even know what you would kind of, what category it falls into, but just individuals that are really motivating in the sense of working hard, just seeing that you put in the hard work behind the scenes, that type of stuff of running a successful business and really obviously then factor all that in with the success that you've done. So, you know, just kind of, I guess, you know, if those of you that are listening don't know who Joe is, Joe is the owner of Osseo Gear. And, you know, other than that, I mean, Joe, if you want to just give a quick elevator speech of, you know, who you are, where you're coming from real quick, and we could dive down some fun rabbit holes.
Sure, man. Absolutely. Yeah. So Joe Miles grew up in South Carolina, still live in South Carolina. Been hunting and really bow hunting since I was 16 and have been passionate about chasing whitetail with bow and arrow all across, you know, their range from here in South Carolina to Montana and from Alberta to Mexico. I just love chasing them and have been doing it for years and years and years. And, you know, that's always been my passion and something that, you know, I shot 120 inch velvet buck here, you know, about a week ago, and people are like, man, you've shot these 180s, 190s, 200s out in Illinois and Kansas, and you know what in the world, how can you get excited about shooting a, you know, 115, because it's home, and that's, you know, that's a relative to our area, and it's a very cagey, tough animal to hunt, and I just enjoy all of it. You know, if I'm in South Carolina, I keep it in perspective, and if I'm in Kansas, then that's a whole nother animal. But yeah, so that's it. And you know, we started Osseo, really got it in the works 4 years ago, and we've got three seasons under our belt going into our fourth year now. So that's me in a nutshell.
That's awesome, Joe. And I'll say this, man, I saw that buck. It's a great deer. You know, I would love to get one of those, 125, one, you know, 15 inch good, solid, you know, couple year old buck from PA here from a mountain. And that's really awesome stuff. You know, exciting things. I was listening to how it played out for you, by the time this airs, it would have been a couple weeks ago. You know, listening to how that kind of played out for you, you said you had a little bit more pressure too for that early season hunt than you normally would have, you know, used to have. And you found him on a camera and he daylighted right at that last second. And, you know, there's bits and pieces of that conversation that I really want to talk to you about. And it was even prior to listening to that, just because there's little things I think as bow hunters and as individuals that we need to take care of. And that's kind of the main little bit of meat and potatoes that I want to go down with you. But, you know, let me ask you this question just regarding that hunt, because early season for me, for Pennsylvania, there's two units across the state, Joe, that it opens up where it's Philadelphia area and Pittsburgh area. I normally don't hunt the 2 weeks prior, because then 2 weeks later, it's a statewide for that. Either for us this year, it's September 30th. So it's usually that end of September, early October timeframe like that. You know, where's your, you know, what's the difference in your mindset? Like when it comes to that early season versus later in the season, does anything change for your mindset? I mean, obviously tactics change, but like where you are up here, does anything change for you there?
Really the patience. You know, you've got to be patient that time of year. You know, it's opening week. Guys want to rush in. Guys want to hunt in the mornings. You know, the season's in. I hadn't hunted in 2 days. I got to go. And the rut, you can do that. The rut, you can dive in. You can hunt all day. You can hunt morning. You can hunt afternoon. But these mature bucks are so easy to kill the opening week of the season if you're able to do things exactly right. And okay. On the flip side of that coin, they are so sensitive to pressure then. And once they know, hey, we're back into hunting again, you know, they'll vanish and not daylight and be absolutely ridiculously hard to kill. So you have to be cliche or whatever, but you've got to be an ambush predator, and you've got to be a quick strike, you know, get in, kill him. But because your exit is so difficult in the afternoons, you know, I mean, we can talk tactics if you want, but I mean, that's the whole mindset early season is a lot of glass and a lot of trail camera running, and then a lot of patience for the exact right condition.
Yeah. So let me throw a quick scenario at you. Early season hunt, think of a different state where you're out of state. It's a quick one. You only have a couple days. You're like, you know what? I'm passing through here. I could hunt 2-3 days. I'm going to throw everything I got at you, you know, at hunting in these 3 days. And in an early season, we're talking like this time frame right now. How does that, you know, maybe differ as far as that mindset go? Since you're out of state, you're kind of going in there, going, being a little bit aggressive. And, you know, does the tactics and mindset still kind of be the same in that category?
Well, here's a prime example. I went to Kentucky for the opener. I got into Kentucky on Thursday, and I glassed all day and all morning and ran cameras all day or Thursday evening, all day Friday, all day Saturday. The season actually opened Saturday, okay. And I did not see a buck. I saw probably 15, 18 different bucks, but not one that is, you know, at home. I would have smoked a bunch of them, but Kentucky's got some Western Kentucky, and I didn't see anything bigger than about 135 inches. So I left, I came home, because I've got some swamp bucks here at home that I can hunt. So I see what you're saying is like, hey man, I've got 3 days, you know, to go out and hunt. And I've got buddies that went out there and hunted for a week. They were hunting mornings, afternoons, you know, they were glassing in the mornings and trying to see where they were going into bed and then getting them on them in the afternoons. And if they didn't have any luck in the afternoons, they were going back in there and trying to shooting them coming to bed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's completely up to you. From a success standpoint, you are early season, you are far more likely to kill one in the afternoons. And it's far better, even if the season is in, even if you're out of state, is it only takes one afternoon. You know, if you're glassing, if you've got 3 days and you scout for two of them and pinpoint him, and you're able to move in that last afternoon with the right wind, you know, then it only takes that one afternoon to get him killed.
Yeah, I like that, Joe. I like that a lot. So, you know, kind of switching gears just real quick. And like I said to you earlier, I really respect what you're doing in and out of the woods. What would you say contributes to personal individual growth?
Oh, yeah. I think that you got to block out the noise, man. There's so much. I mean, I can't tell you. I'm actually going to do some of this on the next podcast I do and get up on a little bit of a soapbox. But I can't tell you the number, especially now that the season's opened, of Facebook and Instagram messages I get of trail camera pictures of deer. And is he old enough and should I shoot him? Is he old enough and should I shoot him? Man, set your parameters, set your goals, and don't listen to what anybody else says. Yeah. If you're wanting to go to Iowa, you get drawn for Iowa, and you want to shoot 140 incher because you've only shot, you know, 120s or 110s, yeah, you're hunting in Iowa, and yeah, there's a chance that you could shoot a 170 or better. But man, if you are going to get fired up and happy about shooting a 140 inch deer or 130 inch deer, who cares what anybody else says? You set the thing I say is set your parameters, set your goals, and stick to them. Now, if your goal is a 170 and you're going to Iowa and then you shoot a 125, well, man, that's not what you set out to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hunting, right? And maybe it is. Maybe your goal is a 170 and you get out there and a 125 inch 8-point comes by you and he fires you up and you shoot him. That's okay. But you know, that's not your goal. So that's my thing, is just set your parameters. And what I mean by that is, okay, I'm going to shoot a compound bow. All right, so that's what I'm going to use. I'm only going to mobile hunt. So I'm only going to be mobile hunting. I'm not going to hunt out of any preset stands. I'm not hunting over any bait. I will not hunt over any bait. Whatever your parameters, those are just examples, hypotheticals. But whatever your parameters are, if you set those, then you start building discipline, and then you start going to your goals. And block the noise out. Who cares what anybody thinks or says about the way you hunt, how you hunt? If you're doing it legally and you're happy and having fun with it, man, knock yourself out.
Take the guesswork out of building your own arrows for this upcoming season by ordering a custom set of arrows from Exodus Outdoor Gear. They have developed and sourced literally the most precise archery components on earth to build a tailored arrow for your hunting adventures. Just head over to Exodus's website and plug in your specifications in the arrow builder and have your custom set sent straight to your door. You have two arrows to choose from, one being the MMT arrow, which is a 2.46 diameter shaft, and the new NIS, which is a 2.04 diameter shaft arrow. Use code AU to save 15% off your tailored arrow order at ExodusOutdoorGear.com. Yeah, preach. I like that. It's funny that you say this, because you were talking about it too on that same episode a little bit, where, you know, there seems to be a trend right now where, you know, obviously technology is a huge thing in the outdoors, and all there's just so many new variables, right? There's the bait question, there's this, there's that. Last week on the episode I did with one of my best friends, Jim D'Agostino, we were talking about an area that I scouted back at home with my dad in Northeast Pennsylvania. And what I did was, it was a spot that I scouted the year prior, had some really good mountain bucks on it, or some really good deer, had a pretty good close encounters with them, and would have been my biggest buck to date if he would have came in instead of going in the opposite direction. But long story short, my dad said, "Do you want to go down there and fix that camera? Because I think my memory card, it just needs reformatted. Something was wrong with it." And I said, "You know what, Dad? No, I let's leave it go. I know last year it was hot. We went in there postseason. We went in there this past June. We saw tons of sign in both of those visits. Basically, I kind of have a game plan of how I would make adjustments to hunting it. I'm like, that scrape was still hit in June. It's going to continue to be hit all summer. And right now, no, I don't. Let's leave that camera go. Maybe if I go in there hunting in middle, end of October, sure, I'll make that adjustment there on it. But till now, let's go in blind. Let's go in surprise. Let's use some woodsmanship and find the sign and set up on and have fun." So I'm kind of excited for that. And I know that's also been like a trend where people are doing that as well. But, you know, I'm excited, and it's a fun goal where I feel like we've come too complacent and really relying on the cameras. And it just seems like the more people that I speak to, especially on podcasts, some really phenomenal hunters, man, they're like, "Man, I was bitten by that, like relying on the cameras." And it's interesting to see how people are growing and developing and not doing that now.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you're seeing, you know, a lot of guys bring in the traditional equipment, you know, no cameras, no cell cameras, you know, just stand on the back, go in the woods and get after it. And you know, you start looking at ethics, right?
Yep.
And what is ethical? And the only person that can decide that is you. And unless you are walking naked and hunting government land and killing the animal with your teeth and claws, you can't say anything to anybody else, right? Because if you're driving your truck out there, there's an advantage. If you are using a bow and arrow, that's an advantage. You know, it goes all the way from naked with your teeth to a 300 Win Mag and a 1 acre high fence with a 190 in there. You know, everybody falls in between there ethically.
Yeah. So here's one of the big things that I wanted to talk to you about specifically. Like I said earlier, asking you about, you know, the business side of things and the mindset. Coming from someone that is successful in hunting and also in the business world, you know, I have to believe you really take care of the little things, Joe. So I would love to hear what Joe Miles talks, you know, hear you talk about the little things that make either you or someone else, what can make someone else, I guess, a successful, more efficient hunter in and out of the woods.
Yeah. So the thing, you know, you hear this a lot, but it's so true. Everything that you can control, you need to be very proficient at. And what do I mean by that? Okay, well, we can go down a little bit of a hole here. Like I've got a sight, right? A sight on my bow. Okay. And my buddy said it was a good sight, so I'm going to put it on my bow. Okay. Well, that's okay. And that's a step in the right direction. But if you really want to understand that sight, what size pins are they? What pin do you have at the top? Which pin is going to be the brightest earliest? You know, green gets brighter the fastest. So you want your top pin to be a bigger pin. That's your closer range shot. So in low light, you know, you're not going to be taking 30, 40 yard shots. You're going to be taking probably 20, 25 and in very low light. So that top pin being 0.019 with green on top and then red underneath, you know, at 0.010, you know, those are just little things that are things that you can control. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we can get into broadheads, we can get into arrows, we can get into stands, we can get into trail cameras. I mean, all of those little things that you can control, you've got to be really proficient in it. And you have to ask the question, why am I doing this? Why am I using this product? Because Joe Blow on so-and-so YouTube channel said this was the best. Okay, we'll look into that, right? Who is Joe Blow? Is he quote-unquote sponsored by that company? Not all companies that sponsor people are just getting their stuff paid for you to say it. You know, there's really good products out there. But dive into Joe Blow that you're getting your advice from. You know, I want to be a better hog hunter. Well, how many hogs has Joe Blow actually shot? And where has he shot those? And how has he shot those? And do those line up with how I do things, you know, in my area? You know, Don Higgins is a really, really good buddy of mine, but his hunting tactics in Illinois work great for the Midwest. And if you're hunting in the Midwest or anywhere like that, man, he is spot on with how he sets up farms and does things. But if you're hunting in South Carolina or Florida or some of the places that I hunt, those things, you know, they won't work. It's not universal. So you have to put everything into good context, and where you're getting your advice from, make sure it's what you're trying to accomplish. Like if I'm trying to shoot 200 inch deer, yeah, I want to listen to Andre DeQuisto. I want to listen to Adam Hayes. I want to listen to Don Higgins because they've killed a lot of 200 inch deer. If I want to shoot, you know, a bunch of hogs in Texas, I might want to listen to the Ranch Fairy because he shoots a lot of hogs in Texas. So again, I'm not trying to be long-winded here, but those are the things that you can control and where you get your advice from. You know, if you really ask that question as to why I'm doing something or why I'm using something and figure it out for yourself and test it really before season, those are things that can help you a lot.
Yeah. I'll, you know, just quickly, Joe, background on me is had a management degree, went back to school after working in that world for a couple of years, got a kinesiology degree with a certification to teach and did a little bit of personal training as well after getting that certification. I'm a big believer in education. So like this aspect of things of how can we be more efficient, right? Learning and growing, that is like you're talking my sweet music to me, right? So, and I remember hearing you say on that podcast where you were talking about killing this velvet buck this past year already a couple of weeks ago, there was a, I'm going to misquote you, but you were in this vicinity of saying for the last like 35 years, everything that you've been preparing for in that moment kind of came to light. It was like in that situation, it was, you talked about your peep sight, you talked about your sight and all those things. And I think those are things that we take for granted, right? Like those are the aspects that when you were saying about practicing, I say it on the podcast and I love the opportunities when I'm with my daughter and my wife at my in-laws, when it's, hey, do you mind if we go up there and we could go for dinner at the stay till this time so I could climb up a tree and just get three meaningful, purposeful shots. Cause I might only get that one shot, obviously. Could I just climb up a couple feet because it's the last light? I want to make sure I'm ready to rock and roll. Like I do that because if I don't, you can't plan, you can't control what that deer is going to do in the woods, right? So, but if that opportunity where it falls in line with what we could actually control in that heat of the moment, you better be ready for it. And that's the stuff, like hearing you say that, I was like, man, that's the little things that I know I wanted always to talk to you about is how can we take care of the little things so the big things take care of themselves?
Yeah, I mean, that hunt was, it really was a culmination of everything. You know, the arrow build, the broadhead, the angled practice, being able to slip one right in front of his hip, you know, the access, the trail cameras that I was using for that thing. I got a good, clear, right at dark, because a lot of times those cameras, you know, they, when they're switching from daylight to IR, you know, the pictures, you don't get a good picture of that animal. Then the way I had the camera positioned, so it wasn't facing dead west, so I didn't get any residual sunlight coming in. I mean, every single thing, it just happened. You know, it doesn't always happen like that.
Right.
You know, it seems like there's always, you know, it's always something you could have gotten away with. Like, you know, he was perfectly broadside, or, you know, he came in 10 minutes earlier. There's always, it seems like always there's something that, oh, well, you know, yeah, that could have been better, but I didn't need it, right? And this time it was every single thing played into effect. If I didn't have the right broadhead on there, I know it would have been the next day when I found the deer, and he would have spoiled. He would have been rotten because it was 96 degrees and about 70% humidity that night. And I was able to get to him, get him gutted, get him into a cooler. And I don't want to beat that up too much, but that opportunity that everything, and I was like, check, I'm glad I did that. Check, I'm glad I did that. Check, I'm glad. Yep, it worked. So those are things that, you know, all that stuff was controllable.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear guys like Nick Saban and Tom Brady, you know, that are in football, and not to beat up Alabama bandwagon, but, you know, those guys are perfectionists. And they don't care about, they care about it, but the focus is not on the end result. The focus is on the process and the discipline, you know, during the process. And if you look at hunting that same way, it, you know, the discipline of what you're doing. I know that I need to shoot 5 or 6 arrows from an elevated position, you know, every day of the season, or, you know, 4 days a week. I know I need to do that, but I want to lay in bed a little longer this morning, you know, or you know what, I got a grill tonight, so I'm just not gonna do it. You know, the boys want to go out, whatever it may be. Well, you know, that's not going to get you where you need to go. You know, there is no happy median. You know, you talk about balance and happy median. If you want to be really good and really successful at it, you got to be a little bit obsessive.
Electrify, escape, and expand. With PWR, nothing will hold you back from finding adventure on your own terms. Forge your own path to places others can't reach by car, by foot, or using analog equipment. Electrify your adventure with PWR's unique e-powered adventure tools that are just as fun to ride as they are practical. Escape the ordinary methods of enjoying the outdoors that take you to the same old spots it seems everyone ends up. Expand your playground, push beyond your old limitations, and find a new comfort zone. Check out the brand new Roam scooter that comes equipped with 4-inch wide heavily treaded tires for maximum grip over loose and aggressive terrain. The 24-inch front wheel diameter makes easy work of rolling over roots, rocks, and other low obstacles in your path. Use code ANTLERUP750 for $750 off or ANTLERUP25 to save 25% off the site, excluding the Roam. So check out ridepwr.com and prepare for your next adventure.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, over the last couple of years, Joe, what would you say out of all those things that you really honed in on, right? And you really are controlling those things. What were some of those overlooked tasks or aspects that maybe that you really needed to conquer?
I think some of the stuff was, you know, was the site set up. I figured that out about, I was in Mexico in a ground blind.
Okay.
And I had really nice buck, and it was dark in that ground blind, super dark. And I had the buck I was trying to kill had come in that morning. And, you know, I could start seeing him through my binoculars, and I had my sight sitting on my knee, or my bow sitting on my knee. And I'm looking at my sight and I'm going, my middle pin, I can see it right now, but I can't see my red top pin. And I'm waiting. And I'm in my green one, I can see it clear as day. In the red, I can't see it. And I'm like, I got to switch that up. I got to put green on top because this buck's 20 yards away and I could technically shoot him right now, but I can't see my pin. And I could take my 40-yard pin and aim under him. You know, I could do that. But in that super low light, I didn't want to risk that. One example, I think another thing is I have really the last 2 years gotten into shooting these different angles and distances, you know, like taking my 3D targets and turning them super quartering away or really quartering to, and studying, you know, where you can zip that arrow in and get into the vitals. And then obviously arrow setup, poundage of the bow, broadheads, you know, arrow builds, all of that stuff. Is stuff that I've worked on hard the last few years.
Yeah, the fun thing about all that stuff too, Joe, is you could go down a lot of rabbit holes with that stuff. Test a bunch of different things out. So what did you end up settling on as far as your broadhead goes?
So for whitetail deer, I'm a Rage tripan guy. Mm-hmm. The first Rages that came out were junk. I'll definitely get on that bandwagon. But then when they developed the tripan, it has a little bit different blades. They're a lot thicker. They're 0.039 thickness blades, which are some of the thickest in the mechanical world. And then they have a titanium ferrule, which is really strong. They have a hypodermic point, penetrates really well. And you know, I was back and forth with mechanicals and fixed, and a few years I ran both in my quiver, depending on, you know, what kind of situation I was going to get into. But now I am 100% Rage tripan. And I actually had the opportunity to go over to Africa earlier in the year and shot a bunch of big stuff, kudu, three sable, some big animals over there. And I specifically used the tripan to see how they would perform over there. And that's the second trip I've taken them over there. And they've just proven time and time and time again to be a really deadly. They're super quiet. They're super accurate. And they've got a big 2-inch cutting diameter, and they get plenty of penetration on whitetail. Well, really up to elk size animals. I mean, I shot a sable, which is the third largest antelope in Africa, through both scapulas. And, wow. And you know, it didn't get 100% pass through, but I got an exit hole. Shot a big kudu quartering two. You know, we're talking a 600-pound animal quartering two, and got all the way back into the rib cage. So it's a good. They get. You know, they get beat up a good bit on some forums and is forum even still a thing? I guess chat room. You know, like these Facebook pages and groups and stuff like that. They get beat up a good bit. But man, I've over the last probably 7 or 8 years, I've shot a bunch of stuff with them and really really like them.
Yeah. Hey, it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to ask you, because you've been successful for many years, you know, already touched upon that, but over the last couple, where do you think you really grew most as a hunter?
I think dialing in my access, you know, that's to me, that is actually the most important thing.
Okay.
You can have the best bow setup. You can have the best broadhead. You can be the most accurate archer. You can be the best hunter in the world. If you don't have access to where the quality or the not quality, the type deer that you want to shoot, if you don't have access to those areas, it's all a moot point, right? So that for me, probably the last 3 or 4 years has really, really been a focus, is drilling down on great access. It's like here at home, I'm a member of a hunt club. It's got 12 members. It's pressured, but it's close, and there's some good spots. You can get away from some guys and get on some decent deer. And then the next door property is a big, like 2,200 acre, you know, old plantation farm that I basically have the entire bow hunting rights to myself. My best friend's family owns it, and they've just turned me loose in there. So I've, you know, gotten access to get in there, and it's a heaven. And I try to stay down there as much as I can, but then out of state, you know, properties in Ohio, I've gotten in with some guys up there, properties in Kansas, you know, starting to learn those better. And not just what actually, here's an example. I just got back from Kansas. Obviously, the season's not even in. And I've got two properties that I'm very familiar with. But I actually killed the buck on one of those properties that I've been after for several years. And I knew that property backwards and forwards, but now there's not necessarily a target buck. And so what I did is I went out there and learned like 5 new properties. I put pins in, you know, I went and learned those properties because, you know, when I get back out there, I'm way ahead of the curve. If something does pop or something does show on one of those other forms, I'm not starting from zero. So that's something, and that equates to guys that are hunting public too.
Yep.
You know, if you're hunting Pennsylvania public land and you've got your one spot where you go every year, well, my advice would be, man, branch out, find 7 other public spots in Pennsylvania, and go tear those things apart in the off season and during the summer, and get a good feel so you've got backup plans, because you can never have enough places to hunt. So really, that's something that I've worked on the last couple of years that's going to make me more efficient.
Amen, Joe. That was one of the aspects that I really took to heart this past year, and one of the key things that I really dialed in on for myself.
Yeah, man, access is having access to different properties and understanding them is number one.
Yeah, I agree with that. So here's another one that I want to hear from you, because looking behind you, you got some doozies, and it's like the endless wall of bucks behind there, Joe. I like it. So what are your top 3 rules when hunting mature bucks?
Top 3 rules. I'm not going to have anything super profound here. You know, these things have been beaten up a lot, but I'm going to scout more than I hunt. So that would be rule number one. Well, that would be rule number two. Rule number one would be what we just talked about, continuing to gain access and flip over every single stone that you can to get access to places. And sometimes no doesn't mean no. You might have to find another way. A quick tip, you know, if you got a landowner out there that's always no, 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 well, then you need to do kind of a deep dive on him and figure out what he likes. He might like NASCAR. He might like South Carolina shrimp. He might like vacation in the Caribbean. Well, whatever it may be, find out what that old guy likes, and then you go back to him, and you can make it kind of jokingly, but seriously too. And so again, number one rule is as much access as you possibly can. Once you get that access, scout as much as you can. And then number three would be discipline in your approach. And what does that mean? So you set up a plan. That's what I, you know, I get a lot of new guys that are getting into hunting that contact me, and you know, it's just so much. You guys have got to get out and do things, right? You got to get out and experience it for yourself. And what I always say is, make a plan. Like, what is your plan? What are you trying to do here? Okay, I think the deer are bedded over there. I think they're going here to feed. And I think this trail right here is the trail they're going to use to do that. And the wind is going to be coming out of this direction. So I'm going to get on this side of the trail. And my access is stay disciplined with that plan, go in, execute it, and learn from it. Okay, they all got downwind of me and blew. Why is that? What were my thermals doing? You know, and then file that away. And every time you go hunt, have a plan. And then when the mistakes happen, because you're going to fail, it's like baseball, man. You're going to fail a lot more than you're going to be successful, but file that away and stay disciplined. That would be my rule number three is to develop your plan, stick to it, be disciplined, and continue to grow from the mistakes you make.
I like it. So Joe, like out of all the years you've been hunting and all the success that you've had, you know, what chalks up the most deer movement for you? Is it the weather? Is it, you know, other factors? What's kind of your belief as like when you see something as far as the weather goes or anything along those lines where you're like, I got to be in the woods tomorrow?
Yeah. Weather is number one. I mean, I used to have an interest in the Deer Hunter's Moon Guide. I resurrected that brand. So I had a dog in that fight, but I used it a lot before I bought it. And The overhead moon and underfoot moon definitely have effect on deer movement. You know, all these studies with these radio collar deer that try to debunk that, you know, it's different type animals, it's different controlled environments. In my experience, when you have the overhead and underfoot moon during prime hours, you know, that first hour, but it's not a phase. You know, you hear guys, they don't do this. I agree with you. The phase, really, I've not seen much of that affect deer movement, but the position of the moon, overhead and underfoot moon, and that's what that red moon and that Deer Hunter's Moon Guide is talking about, is the overhead and underfoot moon. But weather is it. You know, early season, you know, you can look at it a couple of different ways. Early season, you know, especially I'll equate it to here in South Carolina, it's hot. The deer are hitting ag right at dark. If you were to get a 4-degree temperature change where it dropped just 4 degrees, I can guarantee you they're going to be out a little bit earlier. Same, and then we fast forward to pre-rut rut. You know, if you get something that's 10 degrees warmer than normal, it's gonna shut it down, and it's gonna make it really difficult. If you get something the opposite side of that, where it's 10 degrees cooler than the normal, boy, you better be ready to go, because they're gonna be active. And then late season, we'll get back on food, and that's where you're looking for, you know, 3-4 inches of snow and bitter cold that they have to eat. So weather and cooler temperatures. I like the high pressure when it feels really good to you, like if you get a Halloween that's crisp and 10 degrees cooler than normal, and you've got an idea where a buck might be hitting scrapes or where he's bedded, boy, that is an incredible time to kill a giant. You know, when you get out there and it feels good to you and the air's crisp, I mean, you don't have to be a meteorologist and look at barometric pressure and all that, but when it feels good, and I'm all over the place here, but when it feels good to you, you know, that's a good time to be in the tree, and vice versa, like here in the swamp, you know, it's 90, it's 102 today, but I was moving some cameras around, and I started walking in almost like a tunnel in the timber, and it was 8 degrees cooler in there, and boom, there's 4 rubs where they had come out of velvet, and there was already a scrape in there. And so just because of that cool, it felt good to them. Yeah. So when an area feels good to you temperature wise, I promise you it feels good to those deer. So that's something to file away.
If you're in the market for finding a new trail camera, I highly encourage you to look no further than Exodus. Exodus has two main options to choose from as far as cameras go, a budget-friendly option that doesn't compromise quality. The Exodus Rival is the camera for you. Simplicity meets functionality in this easy-to-use, feature-rich cell camera. The Rival offers crystal clear photo quality, easy setup and use with complete remote management through the app anywhere in the world. two already are set up in northeastern PA for me, and they're working flawlessly. And if you're looking for an all-encompassing cell camera, seriously, look no further than the Render. It's their flagship camera. It stood the test of time for thousands of hunters across the country. I have one deployed here locally where I live, and another one I'm saving for back in northeastern PA. Again, zero issues. And I'll tell you what, Exodus stands by their five-year warranty for accidents or for theft. Top of the line customer service. So see for yourself why so many made the switch to Exodus and experience the Exodus difference. Use code AU to get 15% off your first camera today. I like that. And so let me ask you this question, just because, you know, like you said, you hunt Kansas, you're lucky enough that you pulled a tag again for 3 years in a row. Could you make it four? We will see next year. So like you hunt all these other states, and how do you, what's your game plan when you see you have a pulse on like hunting pressures increasing a little bit? Yeah. Like how, what's your game plan regarding that?
So my whole, my stuff is all pretty much do it yourself. And so I'm a big camera guy for out of state hunting, and I'm kind of, I'm a high percentage hunter, meaning that I want to go when it's right to the right area, and the cameras really dictate that. It doesn't have to be necessarily a daylight picture, but if it's on a like the edge of a field or something that I've got a camera set up on a scrape, and the deer I'm after or a big deer shows up on that, then I've got probably four or five places back and funnels that if it's getting to be the rut where I can kill him. So that's how I manage my out of state stuff. Like right now I've got cameras in Kentucky that are in rut spots. I got cameras in Kansas that are in rut spots. And then I've got that new spot in Ohio. It's only 37 acres that a guy's going to let me hunt this year. And I've got cameras scattered all over. I did find a good fence crossing, and then another spot that's going to be a good funnel, and I've already got cameras there. So now I'm hunting here at home, just like a normal guy, you know, if you will. You know, I'm going on the weekends and I'm going in the evenings when the wife lets me sneak out of the house. I'm sitting on go on those other states. And when they start hitting, that's when I'll move. I'm pretty certain that one of those spots, a giant's going to show up, and you know I'll be ready to tackle it.
So talk about that timing aspect, because that's a big thing, right? Like, because it changes year after year. Like I could sit here and say, man, November 8th is always really good for me in the woods. Well, November 8th this past year was super warm. it sucked. My best day was actually October 29th. That was like nuts in the woods for me. So talk, I guess, a little bit about like how you said hitting it at that right spot, the timing, and go from there with that.
Yeah, for me personally, with what I have set up, it is super weather dependent. I know that come the very end of October that bucks can get killed on scrapes if the weather's right. You know, if it's cool and you've got a big deer found and you get a 10 degree cooler week coming up the end of October, I can guarantee you I'm going to be wherever that biggest deer is, and I've got that weather. That might be Kansas, it might be Kentucky, it might be Ohio. But that's how I would time that. And let's say I don't have anything, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say I have nothing, and I've got nothing on camera, and I don't know exactly what or where I'm going. What I would do then, I would wait until we did get that 10 degree, 5 degree below normal, and then I'm going to go to my tightest rut funnel in a big buck state. I'm going to my tightest rut funnel, and this year it's probably going to be Kentucky. I've got a super tight rut funnel in Kentucky, and I know if I sit there long enough, I'm going to get a crack at a big one. It just, the law of averages are there, and like we talked about earlier, being disciplined and sitting there during that weather front where you've got, you know, 10 degree cooler than normal temperatures, and just logging hours in that rut funnel, you know, that would be my strategy if I had nothing to go and hunt.
Yeah. So here's kind of to build off of that, you know, you're talking about sign and everything like that. this is, man, this is such a, it's a broad generic type question, you know, but I always like to ask, like, especially the killers, man, like yourself, you know, when you are traveling through the timber and you're trying to find that hot sign, you know, when do you stop yourself and don't push further, right? Like you find that little bit, you know, like what is your setup maybe, or like you were saying that rut funnel, like, you know, that one little spot. And obviously that's like more of that terrain feature. But as far as the sign goes, when you're walking in and you're like, man, it's just, this is where I know I need to be. What are you seeing in the woods?
So that's an interesting thing, and this is going to be contrary to a lot of guys. Early season, I'm food, I'm ag or muscadines or briars or cutover browse. You know, I'm on food, and so that's normally 99% of the time is in the afternoons. And when that buck, either I see him in my binoculars or I get a picture of him at dark, I will go in and strategically try and kill him that very next day. Okay. When we get into later in the season, we start getting into October and November into the rut, man, I'm not a guy that just goes bebopping through the woods looking for hot sign. If I have my cameras in the tightest funnels I can find, and when that buck comes through there, even if it's at night, then I'm going to get in that funnel. I'm not looking for his sign. Eventually, he's going to come back through that. He's going to come back through that funnel. And so, you know, like Andre DeQuisto, good buddy of mine, a killing machine. He couldn't do that for 3 hours. He couldn't sit in a rut funnel. It would drive him stone crazy. He will hunt for two or three hours in the morning, break all his stuff down, walk through the woods, find fresh rubs, find fresh scrapes, set up on them and hunt. I'm more the Bobby Worthington approach, and I don't care about sign is an understatement. I do care about sign, but I'm more concerned about that super pinch point during the rut that's going to force them by me and then sitting there till they come by. The buck I killed last year, the Trax buck, the one we had hunted for ever since he was a 4-year-old and he was 9 when I killed him. It was a super tight funnel, and I got an October 17th picture of him coming through that funnel. He was going out right at dark. It was dark, the first picture. The next morning, I got a daylight picture of him going back into the bed through the funnel. And I flew back the next day because we were getting some super cold temperatures coming. I killed him like on the 19th of October, coming out of that area through that tight, tight funnel. I wasn't on a scrape. I wasn't on a rub. I was on a trail and a funnel.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my philosophy is sign's super important. And, you know, like here in South Carolina, the terrain doesn't set up real well for funnel type hunting. We're real flat, real swampy, but you know, I can, and there it's more about edges and mock scrapes and creating some man-made funnels with brush piles and stuff like that. You know, it all depends on where you're hunting and how you're hunting and what you like to do. But, you know, I'm not the guy that's going to, nothing is never 100% in hunting, but I'm normally not the guy that throws a mobile setup on his back and goes sneaking through the woods and finds fresh scrapes and rubs and sets up on them during the rut. You know, I'm not going to do a whole lot of that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, Joe. Well, to wrap up this conversation, and great friggin' tactics, I greatly appreciate you sharing your wisdom and answering those questions. I do want you though to talk a little bit about Osseo gear, just because I don't feel like it would be that very kind of me to not at least talk a little bit about this, about some of your own company that you have. And right now, this will air in September, so early season is still kind of going on. You just said this is coming up to year 4. A lot of growth going on. I love seeing like I said, great individuals having success, no matter what they do, no matter what field of professionalism they're in here. And it's awesome. Like I said to you earlier, I love seeing my friends that represent Osseo Gear. They're good people. You just hired Rendell Erica as your show type of individual for the manager. I just messaged him a congratulations the other day. You know, like all that stuff, seeing Tyler Wilbur and the guys from Legacy Pursuit. You know, so you do offer some really great products, and you know the story behind it. I don't want to butcher it, but it's really cool as far as the pattern goes. Whether it's the early season, mid season, late season, whatever you see fit, Joe, that you would like to cover, please go ahead and touch upon some items.
Well, man, I really appreciate that, and yeah, I mean we developed the line for whitetail tree stand bow hunters. You know, that's our niche. That's the gap we wanted to fill with real premium quality apparel that you could, when it was hot, you could hunt when it was hot, and when it was bitter cold, you could sit for hours in the tree and be comfortable. So we nailed that with the quality of the stuff. And there's other stuff out there that you know, the quality is good. I mean, there's some really well-built stuff out there that we compete with, you know, on a quality perspective. But where we really win is with our camo pattern. And the camo patterns to us over the last probably 10 years have really gotten over-engineered, and they don't make sense. You know, if you look at like a digital stuff was created for the military to hide men from men. You know, sticks and leaves, yeah, that, you know, that was better than the old military, like Tiger Stripe and stuff like that, but it's outdated, and it only works in that one exact environment, right? Mm-hmm. Where you leaves of that color. What we did is look at nature, and we looked at ambush predators, because there is no predator in nature that is not camouflaged. No ambush predator, whether that's an owl, a hawk, a leopard, a cheetah, a bobcat, a mountain lion, you know, wolves, coyotes, they're all camouflaged, and there's a reason for that. Camouflage works, or they wouldn't be, right? Yeah. You know, they wouldn't be naturally camouflaged. So that's what we did, is we looked at what we considered the best ambush predator from above, and that being owls. And then we looked at the eyesight of prey animals, like the scientific eyesight of mice, of squirrels, of rabbits, and how they equate, and how they're either identical or very similar to the whitetail's eyesights. And we're not rocket scientists here at Osseo by any means. I'm certainly not. But it made a lot of sense to me that if an animal that hunts out of a tree is hunting animals that have the same eyesight as me, and I don't want to get as close as I can to bow hunting, why on earth would I not, you know, trying to emulate that camouflage?
Right.
And so that's exactly how Osseo was created. And, you know, I had worn a lot of the other high-end stuff, and continuously I killed good stuff, man. And you can kill stuff in red flannel and blue jeans, but I got busted a lot more than, and obviously I have a dog in the fight here. I've got a camouflage clothing company, but don't ask me, you know, personally, you know, ask a bunch of the guys that have actually tried it, what their thoughts are on how much better they're hidden, how they can get away with more movement now. And that's the key, is to be able to get away with a little more movement and stack the deck a little bit more in your favor, and wear the really quality stuff so you can sit and be comfortable and be able to draw your bow when it's -15 out and you've been sitting there for 3 hours and you've got on, you know, our late season bibs and jacket, you're toasty warm, and yep, here he comes, and you're able to get drawn no problem, and you know he doesn't see you get drawn. So that's the whole thing. That's the niche and the gap that we saw, the one we filled, and we're so excited with what's going on, and we're really excited about the success that guys are having. I mean, we've already gotten probably 15 pictures in from guys early season that have taken deer, and so it's really cool to go from an idea to being on guys' backs that you don't even know, and they're sending you messages that say, man, thank you so much for getting this out there. This is what we needed. So it's neat. It's really humbling and exciting at the same time.
That's awesome. And like you were saying about the movement, right? I mean, no matter what style of hunting you're doing, you're going to have some movement, right? And you're not a small individual. Rendell Eric's not a small individual. So, I mean, that you know, that goes into, I would love to see what I could do being only 5'6" and I could probably get away with everything. So, but no, that's really cool. And like you said, I have some really good friends and they've talked nothing but some really great things. I was working the outdoor show in Pennsylvania. I think you guys were set up over in the archery hall while I was working the tether booth. I didn't have really much or any time to walk around at all to kind of come see the products. There was an individual over next to, I think there were a booth down from us. I think it was Zinger's Fletching company. One of the guys had on, I think, one of the heavier jackets because it's obviously during that February time frame. So, I mean, just looking at it and getting a hand on it to touch it, I was impressed, Joe. So it was really cool to see that. And again, it's just really cool to see that success. And, you know, what kind of new items do you have coming out this upcoming year?
Yeah. So, you mentioned that. Sorry.
That's all right.
So we've got a set of lightweight and midweight base layers, or really it's a light and a heavy base layer, and it's a blend of merino and synthetic, so it dries really fast but still has the real good merino warming capabilities and scent control capabilities. So we've got base layers. We have a late season vest, which is basically our late season jacket without the sleeves. 180 grams of PrimaLoft insulation, completely windproof, got a waterproof membrane. It has our new archery collar, so it's a super low profile collar design that I came up with, and we actually have that patent pending, so it doesn't interfere with your draw or your shot, because so many guys were tucking their vest collars and jacket collars in, they didn't get interference, so we eliminated that altogether. We've come out with our 2.0 fabric design too. We've got a panel design where it's a high definition, quiet fabric on the front that really shows the camo well, and then like under your arms and on your back that are going to be up against the tree or movement areas, we used a little higher pile fleece. So it's even quieter in those areas. So we've got those in bibs. We've got the new Sherpa jacket, the late season vest. We've got a new mobile backpack. Our backpack has been, for some reason, well, it's a good pack, but it's been insanely popular, and we've sold out of those things every year, and we created a new one that's a smaller version. A lot of guys liked our pack, but they wanted a more mobile, smaller pack, so we've got that added, and then we've got a hand muff, for guys that like to run a hand muff and instead of gloves, or maybe with a lighter glove. So those are, oh, and we've got a belt. We've got a non-metallic belt. So no buckle. It's a buckleless belt that does a real good job and very quiet. So those are all the products that we have for 2023.
That's awesome, Joe. And I'm telling you, man, like I said, if you like Joe and the things that he represents, I mean, why not go support his company? Looks fantastic. Again, just from my knowledge and going from word of mouth, and these individuals would not BS me just because either they're whatever working with Joe or not working with Joe. And actually a couple of them were representing Osseo gear and wearing it before things maybe even came about. So some really just really cool things. And I'm really happy for you that things are going well. It's continuing to grow. I mean, just looking at your 2.0 vest thing, it looks sharp. I mean, it looks great. I like that collar. So kudos to you guys developing that and getting something out there. I love what you said. It's mainly you mainly went after it, and it's made for elevated bow hunters, and yeah. You can't go wrong, man.
Well, thank you so much, Jeremy, man. I really appreciate it. Enjoyed our time today, and man, I'd love to do it again, and maybe we can get you on the Mission Whitetail podcast one of these days.
Be honored, Joe. Would be honored. Well, Joe, where could people find you, find Osseo gear, all that stuff before you head off?
Yeah, man. Joe Miles Hunting on Instagram and Facebook. Those are my social media handles, and I'm real active on there. So if anybody's got questions or anything, be happy to, give me a day or so, but I'll get back just as fast as I can. Osseogear.com. That's our website. Everything's customer direct. Everything's got a lifetime warranty, 30-day money back guarantee. Wow. Free exchanges. So we try and really take care of our customers because we're bow hunters and we know how important our gear is. So we want to be as accommodating as we possibly can. And then Osseo also on Instagram and Facebook under Osseo Gear.
Awesome, Joe. Well, thank you so much again. Like I said, this was a true honor having you on, getting a chance to talk. So I appreciate that. Please, everybody listening, go check out Joe. Go check out Osseo Gear. Really appreciate it. Best of luck to you, those of you that are heading out here soon this upcoming week for Whitetail and PA and across the world, across the nation. We'll see you next week, everybody. Antler up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Go Wild, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler Up.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.